Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
So we gave up 25 a game. Second to last in sacks. Sorry. 20th in yards per play allowed.
Ugh.
23rd in scoring defense. These are not great numbers. This is why your defensive coordinator deserved to be fired. I think the frustrating thing for me was, and this is just on a personal level, this is not a shot at the Falcons, shouldn't have taken 6 days. Like, this should have happened the day after the game, the last game of the season. We all saw it. These numbers have been there. This is nothing that has changed between, you know, the last 3 weeks of the season, Mike, and the end of the year. And yet they went through this evaluation process, which, okay, fine. But we all saw it. And so, as I said, I wasn't looking for a sacrificial lamb. He didn't do the job. I need people that are going to do the job. And so where do we go and how do we get better defensively?
Yeah, and just for guys who missed the beginning of the show, the timing on this. I mean, the general manager gets up to speak on Thursday, and then, you know, Saturday we find out the coach got. It's not the way an organization is supposed to work. And I'm sure somebody will get their bees in a bonnet or their panties in a twist up there at Flower Branch. You know, okay, so the media comes, we talk to the general manager, what are we going to do? Well, we're still evaluating. And then I'll wait another day for you to fire the coach, and then you can address why you fired the coach and what are your plans for fixing the defense, which got the coach fired. Because you don't draft the right guys. Look, I mean, I will not fault Fontenot for rolling the dice with Judon and with Simmons. They just weren't consistent. Simmons got two interceptions. Judon had a couple of sacks, but more times than not, they were out of place and just not bringing the heat. But you have not drafted well enough to give anybody confidence. You should be picking these guys moving forward, but they're going to roll the dice with Fontenot for another year. And I hope the outcome is different, whether it's Robert Saleh or whoever they decide. I mean, it's funny, Ryan Nielsen was the guy. I remember a lot of fans were like, well, maybe stay with Nielsen. And you said it. You pointed it out. Coaches have their guys. In this case, coach made a mistake of bringing a guy in Jimmy Lake, it looks like, who never had the experience that he was tasked to do.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing. You don't know until you know. I mean, John Harbaugh, guys, is a special teams coach. He's been great. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's built a culture with the Ravens that nobody ever expected. You don't know until you know. But you get a chance, and I just like the fact. Here's the one thing I will commend the Falcons about. They didn't stay the course. We thought they were with the way this thing was going. Like, okay, nobody's been fired in 3 or 4 days. What's going to happen? Nothing. They didn't stay the course. I'm not saying change to change, but sometimes you have to change because it's blatantly obvious.
And I will say this, though. I mean, it's a great example of Harbaugh because whoever thought, like, a special teams coach? But then you also go back and look at the culture. That's Ozzie Newsome. That's a team which the owner stays out of it. You know, I mean, and the team is run by a general manager. No, Ozzie eventually, you know, became just a consultant, but
he had
decades and decades of the right, drafting rock star after rock star on defense. I mean, and having continuity.
Mike, you know who his last pick was? Lamar.
Bingo. And making the determination we are going to tailor this offense and how we're going to approach the draft to Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he was the guy that was said, you know what, we're going to take him. I'm on my way out, but we're going to take him. Look at what happened. So you're absolutely right with the Ozzie. But I just think like that's the part about this where you can't fault Raheem for giving a guy a shot. I would have faulted him for staying the course, and we didn't do that.
Now, in hindsight, because – and this is an argument I got into last week with a couple of guys. Like, this is not Raheem's first experience as a head coach. He was a head – now, granted, one of the youngest head coaches in NFL history, but still a head coach. And he had 3 years, and then eventually he was an interim for 15 games with the Falcons, and he was in a great organization with the Rams that Les Snead has built and Sean McVay is coaching. But, I mean, he's been in the league for 23 years. So some would say maybe do you go with the veteran as a DC or you go with the veteran as an OC? I think we all like the Zach Robinson hire. I think we didn't really know much about Jimmy Lake. It's not like we're making this up, guys. If we go back to how you and I felt about this back in February, March last year.
No, I mean, the thing with Zach was I thought he would put his own spin on what he already knew and what they were trying to attempt to do in L.A. And I think he did. If you look at Kyren Williams and his production, and you look at what our guy in Bijan Robinson has done, it's very similar, Mike. They used him in very similar ways. I mean, if you want to try to, you know, eggs for, or apples for apples and say who's Puka Nacua and who's Cooper right. Kupp, that's pretty much how this thing went. But I will tell you, Drake London, guys, I don't know if it's me. You tell me. Last 3 weeks with Penix, he looked different.
Right.
He looked different. And I think that connection between him and Penix, like, that's going to get better. We still need another guy opposite of him. I love Darnell Mooney. He didn't play that last week of the season. But whatever we got from him with Kirk Cousins, and I don't know what that was, like, if we get that consistently, but we still need another guy.
Now, the thing with Kyle Pitts is, do you feel that if Kyle wants to put the work in, and as two coaches and a general manager said, be the best Kyle Pitts he can be, that Penix Jr. will untap the full potential of this guy? You know, that dart that he throws to him gets him in the end zone in the Commanders game that we should have won, you know, I mean, or at least had a better shot to win. I you know, you and I are kind of lukewarm on Pitts, but do you feel there's a future for him with Penix? This would be the last year.
Yeah, it is. And for me, I'm ready to move on. That's just where I'm at. Now, if he's on the team next year, I'll cheer him on because I want my team to win. But I'm ready to move on. I've seen enough. I've seen the lack of production. I've seen the criticism outside and inside of the organization about what Mike's talking about. What more do we need? Like, we should never be questioning whether a guy is doing his job to the fullest at any position. That should never be questioned. What we should be questioning is play calling, right time of play calling, clock management, the things that play out in a season that sometimes, you know, it happens. I should never be questioning. You know who I don't question? You know a guy I don't even ever have to question whether or not he's giving it what he needs to give it his position? Jesse Bates.
Right. Grady Jarrett.
Every day.
Right.
I mean, we could go down the line.
There's dudes who do their job. You must be the other guy, as they say, the departed.
Like, that's my issue. Like, if you're telling me that you're at a job and you have to question a guy's effort or whether or not he's doing the right things, he's the wrong guy. It's that simple.
Right. If you're having that conversation, it's a conversation you shouldn't even be having. Especially, you know, you and I talked about this. Some guys feel we're too hard on Pitts. You know, whenever he's doing what he's doing, if he's not doing what he's doing, that's all on tape. The other guys see that. Receivers see that. People, the defensive players see that. So, I mean, we joke around about it, but the line from any given Sunday, where's your pride? You'd like to think that somehow affects him, or does he just simply shrug? You know, hey, man, it's just my job. I'm just paid to catch football. It's my job. What was the line? I just work here.
I just work here. That was it. I just work here. Hey, this hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Turtle, let's get to 4th and 1. Another coaching job open now with the Dallas Cowboys as Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones could not come to an agreement. They were negotiating, guys, but again, I think it had to do with length of time more than the number, and Jerry wasn't willing to do that. So whatever that means, they are parting ways. Meanwhile, Mike, we do have a game tonight. Wild Card Weekend continues. Vikings-Rams. It's a neutral site. What do you think here?
Well, it's funny. I saw some of the guys on the Talking Heads last night on Football Night in America. A lot of folks just feel that if you don't like Sam Darnold or you're still waiting for the other shoe to drop, the Lions game kind of perpetuated that argument that I'm still not sold on him, not sold on giving him a big contract and everything else. Now, they certainly got him out of his comfort zone and he rushed some throws. Well, I think that, you know, Jared Verse and Braden Fisk and all the other dudes they've got, they got some studs on that defense. They've drafted so well the last 2 years in L.A., kind of the antithesis of what we've done. But this is a team that I trust Matthew Stafford more in this experience, maybe the last go-around. They can get hot. That's a good enough team where they can get hot, make a run. So I'm still feeling the Rams tonight, even though it is that neutral site. Don't trust Darnold.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I know it's a lazy narrative, but I'd like to give you a fresh take. I don't trust Darnold.
Yeah. Listen, for all the things he's done this year, if they lose this game, guess what the narrative remains to be? That he can't win these kinds of games.
Now, we can change that by getting it done.
Right.
And then go get paid.
Now, they won a lot of games this season. Hell, they beat us, you know, at the end of the year. I mean, so... And that was a game, again, I look back, Mike, and I'm going, how did this game go from being 21 to 21 all of a sudden to blowout? Like, that just turned so quickly, but we gave up all those big plays and explosive plays to them. Vikings are a 2.5-point favorite tonight. And here's the crazy thing. The winner will head to Philly to take on the Eagles in the divisional round. And I just think they're a juggernaut right now. I just feel like they are on one and playing really well. And whether it's the Vikings or the Rams, that's going to be a tough challenge. The winner will head to Philly next week.
Commanders are heading to D.C. to take on the Lions. Dan Campbell went our sister station in Detroit and said that it looks like David Montgomery will be good to go.
Oh.
So you're going to have, I guess, what's the nickname? Sonic and Knuckles, right? So they'll be good to go. Yeah, so it looks like the Knuckles component, right, because Sonic is Jahmyr Gibbs, but will be good to go. Dan Campbell says he's putting the work in. Quote is, he's a huge part of us to me. He's a bell cow, tone setter. better, and it looks like he will be ready to roll next weekend when they do take on the Commanders.
That's big. I mean, that's big. They're good without him. They're so much better with him.
Right.
Because the element that he adds to that offense. And as far as, you know, finishing up Wild Card Weekend, we've been talking about all the games this weekend. The one common denominator, guys, for the teams, most of the teams that lost, I mean, Bo Nix didn't throw a pick, but they just got overwhelmed by the Bills. All these quarterbacks turned it over, Mike. Lamar didn't turn it over, right? Think about the teams that won. Josh didn't turn it over. You know, Jalen had a good game. But it was the defense that was so dominant in that game. And then the Washington game. Think about, you know, Jaden Daniels and how he performed last night. That's the common denominator. And I only bring that up to say, all these other positions, yes, we do need help. But, man, if you got that guy quarterback, it's such a different deal.
Right. And, you know, everybody was hyping Jordan Love. One game, as we know, doesn't define you. But this is a setback because Jordan Love was a mess. He was a rock star in Dallas a year ago, and he couldn't get anything right. I do also feel that, man, every time you turned and if you went to go get some cheese doodles or whatever, you went back to look at the TV, there's a Packer getting carted off the field.
Yeah, it was bad.
I mean, they lost a platoon of guys on both sides of the ball. I thought at times Jalen Hurts looked like a guy that hadn't played in 2 weeks off a concussion. But Saquon did what he does, man, 119 yards. Rolling out there. The one thing, we'll talk more about this in Guy Talk, A.J. Brown, not a factor. One catch, 10 yards. More news made about the book he was reading on the sideline. But that's something I think they will certainly be able to fix. But I just, man, the Packers, they were so close. There were just plays that needed to be made, and they just couldn't seem to do it. The only guy that seemed to be rolling. See, when Josh Jacobs was carrying guys, and they got on the next play, he was like, goal, first down and goal to go. How about the Goddard stiff arms. When Goddard's going down the sideline, there were some really cool sequences in that game where you're like, man, it was like serious playoff football.
Hey, Russ, Packers, by the way, are 0-6 versus teams with 11 wins.
Mm.
They're 11-1 in all other games. Teams that are 11 or better, 11 wins, they struggle against. And Mike, you saw it, but Turtle said this. They lost everybody. You mentioned it. Their top three wide receivers out of the game. Guys, even if they found a way to win that game last night,
right.
I don't know what they do next week. I mean, seriously, like I don't even know how you would have approached it.
Yeah, Dobbs is out. You saw him getting carried off
center?
In the locker room. Yeah, I mean, they literally would have been – they're about as bad as where Detroit was about 6 weeks ago.
Yep. And you don't have that kind of time in the playoffs. Hey, man, coming up, game balls, no balls. Yeah, man, no man's on the way as well. It's Monday. We're recapping all the things that went down over the weekend. Also, in the 4 o'clock hour, our buddy Connor Riley is going to join us to talk about the Dogs and much more here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How do we get back to the playoffs after a long absence? Steeler fans are losing their minds after the Steelers lost the 6th straight playoff game. They get in every year, but then they lose. And that's what happened again, this time to the Ravens. Mike, I'm willing to say that the Steelers just don't have a franchise quarterback with all the things that are right about that team.
Right.
But they just don't. And this year was a Band-Aid. It was, I'm going to try to Band-Aid the best way we can to fix what we have for cheap. Guys, you know what's funny? They could have got in on Kirk Cousins.
They could have.
They didn't.
They were briefly linked to it.
They didn't. Right? And I'm just saying, like, for all the Steeler fans who are complaining right now, would you have rather your season gone the way our season went? Because that's what happened. Or the way the season went for the Steelers, which was another playoff run, despite the 5 losses now with the playoff game and losing. Mike, I just think, you know, again, hindsight's 20/20. I wish we would have done it on the cheap. I do. I wish if we were going to go that route, I wish we would have done it on the cheap.
We asked the general manager back in April after the draft. I said, why don't we just go get an interim like Fields and then go get Penix? And he said he almost laughed, basically. They were not. He goes, well, how's that working out for Fields? He didn't seem like they were interested in that. And that would have been like a stopgap. Or, you know, Russell Wilson, because you could have picked him up for next to nothing. And then, you know, and I don't think, let's be honest, if we had drafted Penix and signed Russell Wilson for cheap, and then Russell Wilson gets benched, no one gives a crap here
That's
in
right.
Atlanta.
That's right.
There's no big deal, you know, because you're doing it, you know, the Broncos are picking up the freight. So, look, we can debate this, and it will, believe me, be debated. But, again, as long as we've got the guy, Penix is the one thing we're not sweating, the guy who put fannies in the seats on the last game of the season, and people are fired up. But, yeah, it's the Steelers. And now you're the Steelers, you're no man's land for the draft. There's nobody where they're picking. Carson Beck, if you thought he was going to be anything, you're going to wait another year for him as he kind of has to kind of reinvent himself in Miami. There's just not a great quarterback. I have to go back and the free. Now, here's the thing. Would you be interested in a bidding war for Sam Darnold if the Vikings pause? You know, unless Sam Darnold really, you know, kind of does he? By the way, if you're the Vikings, are you looking for Sam to do something special here?
You should be.
I mean, so in other words, your thought process is still, you're still evaluating him, I guess.
No. I think they know what he is, and I think they want to keep him. And here's the thing.
But as you like to say, nut cutting time.
It is. And this is why you get paid the big bucks. He is yet to get those big bucks, but he could. Mike, they could franchise tag him and keep McCarthy and keep it moving. But no, I mean, like, this is, I keep saying, this is a big spot for some of these guys, man. You got to show up and prove that what we watched all season long was like, we're not in the Matrix. Like, this is real. You're this good. You can lead us to where we want to go. And for them, with all the talent around him, that was really the question, right? Can Sam Darnold deliver to Justin Jefferson and Addison and Hockenson? Can he be that guy? You got a really good running back. Like, all the things that you need. I want to see what happens tonight. But, you know, I don't want to be in the Sam Darnold business. I don't. Right.
But the Steelers, they're kind of that no man's land where, you know, remember, if you go back, it was what? They held on a year or maybe 2 years too long with Ben Roethlisberger.
Yep.
And you could argue that it's kind of kicked the can down. Pickett. They went for a need, even though if you go back in any other draft, Pickett wouldn't even be a top 15 pick, and you'd think they'd have enough years to scout him because he played in their building, right, and going to Pitt. And that didn't turn out. He's an Eagle.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I just think that the Steelers, you know, again, and they're not going to rush to judgments. The Rooneys don't do that.
Guys just said something in the text. What about Fields? They benched Fields, guys. They weren't getting enough out of Fields. Fields wasn't getting down the field.
Vertical passing game. He won games for you, but understand this. The Steelers won two games this year where they didn't score a touchdown. They didn't score a touchdown. I mean, like, that gets back to, okay, what's missing? They have a lot of good players. I just fundamentally think they're missing their franchise quarterback. All right, we'll see where that goes. More on that. We got to get to game balls and no balls. Mike, I got to give no balls to Justin Herbert. 4 turnovers. Oof. I don't care who you are. Those things come back to bite you in the playoffs. No balls.
No balls.
Uncharacteristic, but I thought there was some tremendous catches as well. Some tremendous throws. And it's just they play better, and that's on me.
6-0. It really needed to be 14-0 after the end of the first quarter. And then, you know, a good team like, you know, D'Amico Ryans and CJ, you know, Stroud was kind of, he's been a slow starter this year too, if we're honest. But he got rolling. Joe Mixon went for 100 yards in that one. They finally got getting things cooking with Nico Collins, who remember fantasy stud from a year ago.
He was huge.
But if you were watching that game, and I did, Chargers could never get the run game established whatsoever. And guys, when other than Ladd McConkey, nobody was making catches. And then Herbert, really, he was forcing stuff, and man, it was bad.
Yeah, and again, when you're pressing, that's what happens, right? You're like, I got to make something happen. And you put yourself and your team in a bad position. Here, let's give the Texans a game ball, guys. Their defense showed up big. Here's D'Amico Ryans. No game ball.
Game balls.
And he's been outstanding all year. He steps up again for us today. Gets 2 picks. Expect when we needed him most. He made, you know, outstanding plays.
He did. Stingley's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And we talked about, you know, Kamari Lassiter coming up with the pick as well. I do not expect them to win next week. I'll tell you flat out. But if they do, it wouldn't surprise me if the defense plays this well. Mike, listen, Danielle Hunter and all these guys, they got a good front, man.
Mm-hmm.
They get after it. They were pressuring Herbert and hitting him all day.
Right.
I mean, they got a really good front. And if that happens again this week, they're going to give themselves a chance to win. But I don't expect them to go win and equal this performance.
Well, Bobby Slowick, you know, not exactly the hot property he was last year. That offense has kind of, you know, sometimes there is that sort of like, I would say a sophomore jinx, but sometimes quarterbacks, not the league figures you out, but sometimes, you know, maybe better processing. They went and got Diggs. Remember that thing didn't pan out for them because he got hurt. But, Slowick's got to kind of rip his game up. I do like the Texans in a low-scoring game, but that's not the way it's – well, it's playoffs. Maybe – I just feel like this Kansas City game, you can see it being like 21-17 and Kansas City moves on.
That's exactly right. That's kind of what I see.
Right?
But you know what? If they went up there and upset them, right?
But some people say Kansas City's been living dangerously all season.
All season. Then I'm going to tell you the reason why they would is because they get pressure. And Mahomes is distressed all day and you know, does something he doesn't do, which is make mistakes. Let's give a game ball to the Philadelphia Eagles. Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts and company. I thought they were really good in their game against Green Bay, and the defense was excellent. Game ball.
Game balls.
We're going to go back to work tomorrow, and, you know, no victory Monday for us. You know, we could play Saturday, too. We don't know. But no victory Monday for us. We're going to go back to work because we do have a lot of things to clean up.
Yeah. And you said the A.J. Brown thing. You worried about that?
No, he's reading a book, a self-help book. We'll talk more about it coming up. But, you know, just one catch for 10 yards. And, you know, it just, it was, you knew that Jalen Hurts, there was going to be some rust with Jalen Hurts coming off the concussion, not playing for 2 weeks. And at times, it was, but when you got a guy like Saquon Barkley, hey, it'll work itself out, won't it?
It will. Eagles get the winner of tonight's game, by the way, so that's why we're closely watching Vikings and Rams.
Can I jump in real quick to a no-balls? We don't have sound for this, but just give me a no-balls to a good friend of ours, the guy that doesn't like to wear shoes, Mac Hollins.
No balls.
When does one catch for 19 yards become a net gain of only 4 yards? When late in the game you make the catch and then you step over the defender and then start poking and running your mouth, the next thing you know, unsportsmanlike, 15 yards going back. So our good buddy Mac Hollins, which some would say, if you don't respect Khalil Shakir or Curtis Samuel, Dalton Kincaid, they've just, that's why maybe if he is going to win the MVP over Lamar Jackson is the lack of talent and the way he's just getting the most out of these guys, talking about Josh Allen with those receivers.
Yeah, I thought it was a dumb penalty, though. I just did. I agree with you on that. You got to know, you know, where you're at in these games. And
didn't matter. I mean, it was a moot point, but it was just kind of funny because, you know, we've interviewed him a few times. He's a wild man. But
yeah, but
it was kind of dumb.
It was dumb, but it was also out of character. That's right. Not that he doesn't seem to be that kind of guy. Either way, I'm with you. No balls there. All right, and last but not least, let's give the Washington Commanders a game ball. Jaden Daniels, a game ball.
Game balls.
Here's the snap. Daniels to throw for it. Backpedaling into the end zone.
What a play.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! 5-17! A clutch play and the lead! Unbelievable. How clutch is this guy?
That's a great call. That's a great call. And that wasn't even, you know, again, the game winner as this game was tied. And then
touchdown!
And then he goes down and sets him up for the game-winning field goal.
Chris, I don't want to steal your thunder for Yeah Man, No Man. Are you going to talk about Zane Gonzalez at all? All right, then I'll throw it in. Let's give a game ball to the kicker for the Commanders because he's dealing with a lot of stuff, Carl. A lot of issues out there.
Yeah.
Game balls.
Now, if you watch this game, and you know, of course, any time a game in the NFL is coming down to a kicker, you know, NBC is going to have that isolation shot of the kicker kicking the ball into the net on the sideline. And so as he's ready to go, and I noticed this at the time, and even my wife's like, why does he keep playing with his hair? So Zane Gonzalez, as he's about to go in, he's like, and he's got a really short haircut. If you're at the barbershop, Carl, he's got like a 3. So it's not like he's got a lot of stuff going on there. And so he's like kind of wiping his hair, helmet, wipes the head again, helmet, wipes it. I'm like, what's this guy, OCD? Yes, he's OCD. So as we know, we treat things like that a little bit differently now. We don't bag on the guy, but he did doink it through the uprights. And then it was funny. Give credit to Collinsworth. Collinsworth was saying, you know, kickers normally hit a fade. They're going to go a little bit left to right. And that's exactly what it did. It just happened to go on the inside of the goalpost. It didn't come back out. So he gets it in. Turns out, though, he does have OCD. He goes, it makes you a perfectionist and more detail-oriented. He told ESPN back in the day, this is about like 6 years ago, he was doing the interview. But in case you were wondering, yes, that's why. It's like a golfer with some repetitive motions. That's part of his routine. He's been dealing with that his whole life.
Interesting. Yeah.
Mike Tirico with the call.
Well, and when it hit, I was like, did it make it or miss? I could not tell. And then, obviously, you listen, and then they show the replay. Either way, they advance. Guys, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we're going to get to Yeah Man, No Man. Connor Riley's going to stop by as well to talk some dogs and college football with us as we now know who is in the college football playoff championship. It's going to happen right here in the ATL on January 20th. And make sure you join us this Friday for a special edition of Dukes and Bell from Twin Peaks and Buckhead. We're going to be there 2 to 7 breaking down this weekend's NFL playoff action. Monday's college football national championship is Twin Peaks Buckhead. Friday 2 to 7 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know, we've been talking about these quarterbacks. What about Jordan Love, by the way? I mean, I know he had a bad game, and I get it. Players were hurt. But did we overestimate his ability, or is he going to ever be like that elite quarterback that we think he can be?
Well, Watson was out, then Dobbs goes out, and all these guys are just banged up. You know, they had so many injuries on both sides of the ball, and just, you know, he started losing all his receivers. But he also made some bad throws. You know, when your stat sheet is like, you know, 47 yards and a pick, you know, that's not going to get the job done. So you're just waiting for him to make a play, and he just wasn't. Now, again, it does, as we said earlier, doesn't define him, but that was a step backwards. Some would say that you lost a platoon of players in that game if you're Green Bay. As you said, even if you'd won the game, you'd have nobody for next week.
No, it'd be tough. By the way, we did not mention Mike Vrabel gets the job with New England. They had a presser today. As a matter of fact, I think this was like the worst kept secret. from a connection standpoint with what they wanted and why they moved on from Gerard Mayo and getting a guy who has already had success in the National Football League. You know, he was a hair away from getting to the Super Bowl with the Titans. So they get Vrabel. We'll see what his staff looks like ultimately. But that is why I think also the Falcons are up against it. It's not just these openings. Once they start to fill, and these guys start filling their staffs, some of these premier defensive coordinators are going to be gone. So you need to be on this. And I'm pretty sure, guys, they have an idea of where they want to go. But that's another part of this. You can't just sit back and go, well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I would love to get Robert Saleh here. I think that checks a lot of boxes we talked about. I mean, I don't get hung up on it. But, yeah, you would be 4-3 as opposed to a 3-4. But just is Raheem willing to cede control to some? Because, now, again, did Rod take over the defense? There were reports he did. We asked him. He said he's involved in all aspects of the team, so he wouldn't take credit for it. I think he went out of respect to maybe Jimmy Lake, knowing that, he had to circle the wagons with his defense. I don't know. I think Saleh would be great. And, you got a staff that I think people would respect him, and Zach Robinson, the offense. Look, you just got to fix this freaking defense. Find some freaking heat. Get some sacks on the quarterback. Upgrade opposite A.J. Terrell. Get some linebackers who can do the work and stay healthy. Let's go.
All right, guys, more to get to here on the show.
By the way, I just read all those things. That's not all easy to do in one season.
No,
when you got a cap hit and you're picking in the middle of the draft.
No, it's
and
not.
You don't have all your picks.
Well, that's why you need experience, though. You need somebody who knows what they're doing. Let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what's going on today, man? Happy Monday.
Yeah, same to you guys. Mike Bell's going to get into this a little bit later with the full scoop on what happened. But one of the side branches or tentacles to come out of this book gate, as we're going to call it, from A.J. Brown on the sideline is, Mike, your boy Tom Brady decided to get a little frisky, and I like it. He took a shot at fellow Fox broadcaster Mark Sanchez for something that he did on a sideline many moons ago.
So A.J. Brown, while we're figuring that out, he's a little frustrated. Obviously, he hasn't seen too many balls today. He's going to read a little passage here.
Yeah, I haven't seen too many people read books, but I've seen a quarterback eat a hot dog.
That, of course, referring to Sanchez, who in New York on the sidelines needed a little protein during a game, and he munched on a footlong. Yeah, man, no man. Is it, Mike, is that what you're looking for from Brady?
Well, you know what? It dawned on me, and we've talked about his voice a few times, Carl. And it's not like he's not bringing good stuff. And he did some sort of next level, I mean, like, I am the greatest quarterback to ever dress out kind of analysis a few times, talking about, well, see, that's the thing as a quarterback, you got to get away from that because he can't make that catch and you're going to have to. So that was good. And then it dawned on me. Doris Burke's voice is deeper than Tom Brady's. So it comes down to, like, just that voice. If you get past the voice, which I tried, the analysis was certainly good. And he's forming, a good vibe with Burkhart. That, happens over a season. But Greg Olsen has just been there, done that, and still easier to listen to.
Yeah.
But Brady, it's not like I think Awful Announcement had him as, like, the 16th, best crew of all the guys that do pro football this year with all the different networks.
I like the reference. And so what? I mean, like, we act like it didn't happen. It did. He's not taking necessarily a shot. It's not something he made up. But, yeah, I thought it was a good jab, let's say. Does he need to do more of that, right? That's what you're kind of asking, like, to say, hey, he's not afraid to go there. I don't know, but I like that. I did enjoy that comment.
Now, some would say, and like Archer and Wes, we talked when Dave was doing, college football games, and Wes does it when he's doing his college games. You meet with the coaching staff, right? And, if you get your color guy, the color commentator is going to get the analysis. One thing you get from Romo and you get from the other guys, you don't get from Brady. It's like, when I was at the camp yesterday, when I met with the staff, you don't get that. That would be kind of cool to hear Tom Brady take all the expertise and all that next level, which he does bring in the in-game, to what he saw in practice, which Romo says, hey, we saw them do this play, and here it comes, and, but Brady can't give you that because he's a minority owner of the Raiders.
That's right. It hurts him.
Especially in a game where, for instance, I'll give you an example. Chris, you weren't here. You were probably in junior high. But when the Falcons played the Vikings, all John Madden knew were the Cowboys that year. And he knew a little bit about the Vikings, but he knew nothing about the Falcons. And it felt like that. Now, I was at the game in person when I came home and got on my TiVo, Carl, and watched it. It just, you felt like, I'd like to get a little bit more deep analysis. I know that Tom could do that, but not if you can't talk to the coaches and the players.
Yeah, I think that hurts him. I just do.
Speaking of TiVo, did you guys see Wolf Blitzer's picture that went viral this weekend?
I did not.
Okay. So he apparently is a Buffalo Bills fan. And he was rooting on his squad, decked out in his nice Buffalo Bills hat and his winter attire, showing off his setup in his TV room. He has, Carl, Mike, about a 30-inch TV with the big back sticking out of it, a TiVo on top of the dresser, a VCR,
wow,
and a DVD player in his home setup. Now, you're telling me all these years at CNN and everywhere else where he's been an anchor that he has to have my grandparents set up in his house, and he is showing this thing off like he has the bee's knees in 2025.
Well, no, he's happy about the Bills. I don't think he realizes he's literally got a 2002 just called.
Well, right, but at the same time, it's like, go Bills, here's my, you know, ornate setup of what I got going on. And my, like Mike said, 2002 call. This is the funniest thing you'll see on the internet today.
I will say this, and by the way, Wolf's been doing it a long time. Hey, maybe he wants to pop in a VHS tape that he did years ago and watch himself. I don't know. It's weird. Maybe that's not important to him, Turtle. Maybe having the big screen and the digital setup is not important to him.
So you're telling me he just wants to rewatch his coverage of the OJ tape?
I'm just saying. The only way you're going to get it is VHS. That's it. That's the only way you're going to be able to watch it.
All right. And now we go live to Riyadh. Oh, there goes a Scud. By the way, yeah, as Chris said, the comments, because social media is undefeated. I love the two VCRs, said one Twitter follower. Can rewind one while watching the other.
That's right.
Move.
That's right. So, yeah,
And by the way, not to mention you get the wood, you get the old bureau. I mean, it is very old school.
It is. But I will tell you this. Some of those components now are expensive because everything that's old is new again. If you wanted to go buy a VCR just to have like a vintage VCR around, they're expensive. Right. You go on eBay and people are like, yeah, you can have it. $800. I'm like, it didn't cost that when it came out.
Five remotes, cable box, DVD, VCR, and a 480p. What a world.
It's really unbelievable. Somebody else who's having a little bit of a tough go of it. His team got eliminated last night in the best game of the weekend, but our friend, the ladies' man, Todd Bowles, had a little bit of trouble recapping the first half against Jaden Daniels.
And on defense, how do you limit Jaden Daniels?
Got to get him in long third and longer yardage. You got to win first down. He keeps getting out of the pocket to his left, to his our left, his left. I mean, our left, his right, and we got to cut that down.
I saw that last night, Todd Bowles.
His left, our right, his right, our left.
Right.
Does that explain why Jaden Daniels in the fourth quarter turned into Superman again?
It might. I mean, like, look, he has tendencies just like everybody else. Does he throw better when moving right or left? Obviously, Todd Bowles and his team had scouted that, and, Mike, they were trying to contain him. Problem was, they couldn't. Like, when it came down to it,
right,
they just couldn't make the plays to get him off the field. And I thought that was interesting, though, because he's giving you some secret sauce, right, about how you should contain him if we're able to do it, but they weren't able to.
His left, I mean, our left is right, and we got to cut that down.
And we talked about it earlier. They had, like, at one point they had a spy, then they had two spies. So, and by the way, great to see a good friend of ours, well, until Carl ran out of town, Debo. Debo had a big pass breakup in the red zone for Tampa Bay before eventually the Commanders went on to win that game. But Debo got picked up off of waivers and then eventually practice squad getting on the active roster.
He was 100 last night, Carl.
He finally was. Iowa, and that was key. That was our former safety, by the way.
Yeah, Keanu.
I'll say this, Mike. I didn't think the mistakes that cost him the game would have cost him the game. But this is the playoffs, man. And you said in one botched snap, right? And wasn't that weird? Like, when they show that replay, it's like Baker's giving the call, the cadence, and all of a sudden, like, he's moving and nobody else is moving. Anyways, and it cost him a field goal.
Those mental mistakes you talked about. You already mentioned the snap. That's the games come down to those moments. Jordan Love had a couple of those moments before things just then. He started just kind of throwing it down the field and hoping that, like, the fourth-string wide receiver can make a play on you. But, yeah, the Bucs, if you're a Bucs fan, I mean, it's funny because when we were down there for the game against Falcons, that's the one where we swept the Bucs. That's where we had the A.J. Terrell interception. Kirk Cousins had that beautiful throw to Mooney, and I was sitting right behind the bench. It was funny talking to Bucs fans, and it was one guy was kind of pragmatic about it, Chris. He says, probably the best is going to be for us because, you know, there's a ceiling. I don't know. I think can Baker Mayfield go – there's other issues on that team. They've got to do some retooling to a degree,
But still, the defense came on like gangbusters. Their defense was awful and was one of the best defenses in the league in the second half. So I guess the question is that as good as it gets after Tom Brady, where Baker Mayfield and the Bucs are living? Last year, you won the first round of the Eagles, beat by the Lions. This year, you lose a heartbreaker, or you just chalk it up, Carl? Hey, that's just playoff football. Bucs can be back. Are we going to have to worry about these guys moving forward? Yes.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I mean, Baker threw for 40 touchdowns this season. He has second good year in a row. Bucky Irving was a steal.
Right.
He had 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns.
Once they finally established him as the number one running back, too. Right.
And then you get Godwin back, and then Evans has another. I hate to say it, guys. Are they in better shape than the Falcons?
No, they are. They're the team to beat.
Their defense is light years better than ours right now.
All right, we got a couple minutes, and I got a list here. SB Nation. Let's get excited, people. Put out their list of top 8 available free agent edge rushers. Number 8, Baron Browning from the Cardinals. Anybody? Bueller?
Pass.
Yeah, okay. Never heard of him. Number 7, the 45-year-old Brandon Graham from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, you lost me when you said 45.
Mm. Yeah, he is. He's played about 15 seasons in the NFL. Chase Young at number 6, one of the biggest busts at defensive end in recent memory. Number 5, Malcolm Kuntz from the Raiders. Never heard of him. Number 4, Josh Sweat. Now you're starting to get me interested a little bit. They project him at a 3-year, $15 million deal.
Yeah,
we can do that.
Right. That sounds about right.
That's doable. Number 3, the basket case himself, Hassan Reddick. I don't want any part of that, man. Yeah, that's a locker room wrecker if I've ever seen one. The talent's there if he wants to be.
Yeah, but that was a mess. I mean, it was. And, right. and what impact did he have ultimately with the defense once he got
once
on the
Once he finally
field?
Got there, right.
Yeah, but can you risk Judon 2.0?
Yeah, that's what it seems like. You got to get it off the tree, man. The guy that would have looked great in hindsight, if you feel that, you know, Danielle Hunter was always going to go to Houston to be closer to home, Carl, as you pointed out last year, is probably with Grenard, who they replaced him with in Minnesota, would have been a guy for us to go for.
He's a beast.
He is. He is a very good player. Beast.
That was an impact free agent that we couldn't have because we spent all the money on Cousins.
Very good player.
He's old, but he has name value. DeMarcus Lawrence is going to be out there from the
How
Cowboys.
Old is he now?
33.
He's yeah, want, I just don't you hate to have this kind money. Of argument again about the just kind of spackling the defense with aging veterans?
Well, here's the deal. You may get production out of him. You're just not going to get consistent production. And what I need is a game changer. We don't have that dude. And so,
can he be an effective rotational guy at this point in his career?
Yes. Now that is absolutely true. Yeah. But then you're talking about what it cost you,
right?
So price versus production, and that becomes an issue when you don't have $130 million under the cap. If we did, it doesn't matter. But now you've got to be careful as to how you go about spending your money. And so, he's a rotational guy. There's no doubt. But this idea, like we're going to go get one of these guys that's potentially a free agent. And he's going to come in here and have 15 sacks. It's not happening.
See, the Broncos guys, even though they're the first team to have that deep a cap hit and go play in the playoffs. That's the thing. Dead money hit and still get into the playoffs. And that's sort of historic. So that gives you a little bit of hope if your general manager can figure it out. Because, you know, money-wise, did you mention Josh Sweat?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's another one.
He's the guy I think that makes the most
and
sense.
We couldn't sweeten the pot because we didn't have as good picks as the Bears did to make the trade. The Bears had better picks, but higher picks to give in that trade.
And the number one guy on the list, he's reportedly considering retirement. He's also 33. He's Khalil Mack.
Right.
How much does he have left in the tank as well? So not exactly.
Because he's been banged up. Both him and Bosa were at times banged up for the Chargers this year.
Yeah.
So Khalil's had a really good career, though.
You know, an A-plus list of guys that are going to be out there for the Falcons. But maybe they can make a trade. Yeah. Maybe Vegas says, you know, give me a second-round pick for Max Crosby.
I think you and I, the fun we'd have interviewing Marcus Davenport.
Oh, don't start. Don't even start. He was hurt again. He was hurt again this year. He's always hurt. All right.
Marcus, let me introduce you to Carl Dukes. He's a big fan.
We got a lot to talk about with our man Connor Riley, including his thoughts on the national championship. Now that it is set, we will get the latest on the Dogs as well coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.